So this morning, as we launch into our message, I want to share a message entitled, Jesus, Our Greatest Gift. It is near and dear to the heart of God because he's an incredible, generous giver. He loves to give gifts. And the reason why we celebrate Christmas is because he gave us perhaps, in fact, I even shouldn't say perhaps, the greatest gift we could ever receive, and that is the gift of his son. And in fact, 700 years before the birth of Jesus, the prophet Isaiah, inspired by the Holy Spirit, wrote these great words. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, in fact, it was in the first song the choir sang this morning. But I like the flow of the King James Version. So this will be one of the few moments you see me quote it because it's got such a the formal English. But I just love the role of this, and it doesn't have that formal English in there either. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Here it is in the English Standard Version. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. See, God gave Jesus as a gift, and as we look at that person, as we look at that gift this morning, I just want to point out three things to you. And first of all, is Jesus came as God's gift. We touched on this briefly 2 weeks ago, right after the kids program, and I want you to look at the first part of Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. It's to you. It's to you. God is giving you a gift. And I don't know whether you've ever thought of Jesus that way or not, but certainly at Christmas time, we tend to think of that. But do you realize in the New Testament, over 40 times, Jesus is called a gift? And the Apostle Paul wrote this in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, thank God for this gift, too wonderful for words. See, he's talking about Jesus that you and I can't put into words, how awesome this gift of Jesus is. In fact, I'd suggest to you this, 10,000 years into our time in heaven, we're still going to be learning just how amazing, how beautiful this gift really is. We will be marveling at the magnitude of God's grace and giving to us Jesus as a gift. And as that Savior came to save us of our sins, I will tell you, we could be 100,000 years into heaven and we're still learning the depth of this great gift. We'll still be struggling to be able to put it into human vocabularies because this greatness of his gift is so expansive and so magnificent. Yet God expressed it this way that is so amazingly huge, but amazingly simple. As God shared this amazing gift in the most famous verse in the Bible, John chapter 3, verse 16, when we read this, for this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. He loves you. He loves me. He loves everybody. He loves all of humanity, and that's what he gave. He gave his most precious gift. And so when we come to Christmas and we're celebrating this incredible gift that God gave, what did he give? He gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. It's an incredible gift. Secondly, Jesus came to lift your burdens. Look at the middle part of our verse in Isaiah chapter 9, where it says, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. See, that's not only talking about the fact that he will be a universal king, but it's saying that he is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. And the words of Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 2, that at that name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue declare that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. In other words, there's coming a day when every single man, every single woman, every single boy or girl will kneel at the name of Jesus. They will acknowledge that he's the King of Kings. And it's all about this government that he will reign and rule. He will conduct like a government. He will set it all into place. But what's amazing when we start to look at this, just a few verses before this verse, look at what Isaiah chapter 9, verse 4 says. For you will break the yoke of their slavery and lift the heavy burden from their shoulders. You will break the oppressor's rod, just as you did when you destroyed the army of Midian. In other words, he's the kind king. This is a king that doesn't come to put a burden on people. He is a king that comes to liberate people. He is a king that comes to bring kindness, to lift your burdens, not place one on you. So if you come to church, if you go to, here's the part, you start to know what's religion and what's a relationship. It is right here. Because you don't go to church out of an obligation. We come because God lifts our lids of our needs. He lifts them and he doesn't place a burden on us. And this is the amazing part. And I love how Matthew chapter 11 puts this, because there's a God who cares about you and he invites you. Matthew chapter 11, and this is a paraphrased version called The Message, and it says it like this: Are you tired? Worn out? Burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you will recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Kind of sounds like a message from the Spirit earlier in our service. So cast your burdens upon him. Why? Because he cares for you. He is the kind God. He's a God that loves you. He's a caring, burden-lifting God. There's a third thing that this passage tells us this morning about Jesus, and it's this: Jesus came to meet your deepest needs. God knew exactly what we needed. We needed a Savior. We needed a God that would, and that involves a deliverer who could come to deliver us from our sinfulness, but also to walk relationally with us. Because we would never be able to deliver ourselves. So God sent a gift, Jesus. And in Isaiah chapter 9, at the end of verse 6, it gives us four names. Four wonderful names that we can begin to see the identity of this God. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Let's look at these names. First, Wonderful Counselor. Now, when you read this in the English somewhat fails us to really help illustrate what the Hebrew thought behind the word was. Wonderful Counselor, because sometimes when you read it, you might be saying, oh, he's just a really good counselor, gives good wisdom. And so you could rate him like in Google and give, yep, God's pretty good at that. Give him 5 stars. Or like Yelp, 4.5. It's more than he just gives good wisdom. It's just not the benefit of counsel, but it's the truth is that he is the source of wisdom itself. He is the source. In fact, John chapter 1, verse 14 puts it this way: So the Word became human, which we're celebrating in the season, and made his home among us, and he was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and yet we've seen his glory, the glory of Father's one and only Son. See, that word, when the Word became human, see, the Word calls him that, and the Greek word is logos, which we get the word logic. And when we begin to put that into place, he is the logic of the universe. He is the rationale. And he helps us not just to understand truth, but he gives us the logic. It helps us make sense of life. God wants you to understand this gift that he gave is that Jesus is wisdom personified. He's not only the one who helps us to get a sense of life, he's the one that gives us the sense of life in every way, that he is the rationale, he's the logic, he's the reason for existence. Because apart from him, you'll never understand why you're here. life will continue to be a frustration and a mystery if you don't find that relationship with Him. You'll never understand what love life is all about because He is the logic behind life itself. Second name, Mighty God. And I love that. Mighty God. Literally in the Hebrew, He's the warrior God. He's the warrior God who would make a way. In other words, think of it like this. He's the champion's champion. Like there's always a debate. Who's the greatest of all time? Who's the greatest athlete of all time? Who's the greatest of this? Here is settling the score. He is the greatest God of all time. He is our greatest mighty warrior. He is the hero of heroes. He is the knight in shining armor. He's the one who comes to our rescue. He's the one who is invincible. He comes to rescue people. He comes to rescue you. He is the champion. And guess what? He'll never be defeated and has never lost yet and never will. Thirdly, He's the everlasting Father. And it's a beautiful, beautiful way to describe His love for us. The everlasting Father. Whether you have the benefit of a good and godly father or not, the fact of the matter is that all of us can understand and define what a good father is, though. What a good father should be. And that good father would not be indifferent to being interested in you. A good father will understand your weakness and love you anyway and help you in any way. That good father will not turn his back on you in a time of need. And at some points you need to know that, is that you've got a heavenly Father who will never turn away from you when you call. He loves you. People come into this room today, and maybe you're hearing that, and you're seeing what's happening in this, but in your heart and your mind, you struggle because you feel like God probably doesn't want anything to do with you. You may feel like you've screwed up life so much that there is no way God could forgive me. There's no way God could accept me. And you need to know, God sees you today. He hears your heart, and He loves you. Trust Him. Trust Him and give everything to Him because He is your everlasting Father. He's always interested in you, and He's always interested in you that He sees you. So just know that He sees you where you're at. I love the way the psalmist puts it in Psalm 103. The Lord is like a father to His children, tender and compassionate to those who fear Him. For He knows how weak we are, and He remembers we are only dust. So at moments when you feel like you keep messing up, when you keep blowing it, He understands our frailty. He knows how we're wired, and guess what? In all of that, He knows how we're wired, and He loves us. He's the everlasting Father, and He loves you today. And fourth and finally is the Prince of Peace, the Prince of Shalom. We have a tendency, again, to not understand what the Hebrew meaning is, because we understand in American English, we think of peace as the absence of conflict, and yet and when we look into the Hebrew mind, the concept of shalom is not the absence of something, but it's the presence of something. That in the midst of the storm, there is this shalom peace, that everything could be crazy going on in the outside, but there is a God who will give you peace. Even when there's conflict all around. You could be conflict on every side, but we have a God that brings a peace, a calmness, that amazingly, when we start to link in that our God is with us in what we go through and all that's going on around us, we have a God who will make His presence and His power defined in our life. See, when God blesses a person, it's not just spiritual. It becomes a blessing into every aspect of your life because He's the Prince of Peace. But it starts when you and I have a peace with God, and that happens when we put our faith in Him. When we do that, our sins are forgiven. Our relationship is established with God, and that begins to introduce His power into our life, a life that transforms us from the inside out. It just doesn't change a moment. It changes us. It transforms us. Everything's new. I love how Paul puts it. In anyone who is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is passed away. Behold, everything's new. He makes a person new from the inside out. It transforms our life. See, sometimes we forget just how fragile life truly is. We wake up and assume the day will go as we've planned it. You have your daily to-do list. Some of you still have your Christmas to-do list. And we're thinking, oh, I'll get to it this afternoon. But it's amazing how life can be shattered in a moment. I remember vividly while the choir was singing, because I looked at my watch. 31 years ago, I always take a pause at around 11:20 a.m. 31 years ago, at that moment, my life was shattered. Because I can go back to the moment my brother called me, and I was in my office just before we were doing a quick staff meeting at Racine Assembly. We were planning on leaving that afternoon to go to Nebraska to spend time with my family. My brother was calling me to say, Dad's really bad off. In fact, the doctor said, you just need to drop everything and start on your way. Don't wait till this afternoon. But literally, as we were on the phone, and he just no sooner got that information out, he said, here's the doctor. And I could hear a few words going on in the background, and it was followed by my mom and my sister bawling when we got the word that my dad passed away. See, visions of what I thought Christmas was going to be that Christmas was replaced. A lot of future memories were shattered and broken. And I know that many people are living a broken life that are here today or watching online. And some don't even realize just how broken their lives are because they just live to get through the day. See, when we put our faith in Jesus, and it's a well-founded faith, faith in Jesus will carry you when you don't know what your next step is. He'll carry you through some of the deepest valleys. It's one of the greatest parts that I can look back to that Christmas was the strength that God gave in the midst of a broken heart. Didn't have to wonder where my dad was. See, and this is the wonderful hope, and it's just not for an eternal checkoff list that everything's okay, but it's that walking in a relationship with a God who loves to live life with you regardless of what it brings. So when your life is shattered, you have a God that wants to do life with you. See, that's the gospel right there. Paul put it this way, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is. And are you ready for this? It is the power of God for the salvation. It is for the power of God. In fact, in many ways, we could say for the deliverance of everyone who believes in him. See, that's the power of the gospel to anyone who believes. It's a gift of salvation. It's a gift of transformation, which is why we want you so urgently to know this wonderful gift, this most incredible gift that our Heavenly Father has given us today. Have you received it? He offers this gift of salvation and transformation. You can find it today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for being a gracious and loving God. And Father, for those who are here today, that, Father, need to find that love, that peace, that wonderful counselor, that wonderful mighty God, an everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. May they find you today. God, help us be reminded as we go through this Christmas season, the greatest gift that we've given, that was given. For some of us in this room, we've received it. And for others, I pray that you will help reveal the scales of where they're at, whether they've received it or not, and may they find you today. With every head bowed, I have to ask this question. If you're here today and you do not know if Jesus is your Lord and Savior, because you're processing this going, I really need him in my life. I want transformation. I want a relationship with this all-powerful God. So the invitation I'm offering you today is not about joining a church, but it is joining in a relationship with an eternal God who loves you and has known you from creation. The moment you were conceived, God knew you. And he has a plan for your life. And he will restore your life if you give your life to him today. So if you have to, if this is you today for the first time, or maybe you know you've been walking away from him, just know that there's a God that can't wait to walk in relationship again with you. And if that's you, would you just look my way, because I want to pray with you. If this is your desire to pray this, just look it right up at me and I'll pray with you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Wonderful. I want everyone to say this prayer with me, because this prayer really, how do you, I start this relationship? And we talked about it earlier, is you start this relationship of faith very much with a prayer, but it's prayer expressing your heart and your faith to him. So I encourage you to say this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, thank you that you don't quit on me. You love me. Forgive me of my sin, doing life my own way. Forgive me. Come into my life. Lead it. Be my Savior. I give it all to you. Create a new work. Transform me. Transform my life. In Jesus' name, amen.